Matthew chapter 15, and I'm going to ask you if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to read starting in verse 10 through verse number 20. Matthew 15, verses 10 through 20, and we're going to read these tonight. Just a quick thought tonight, not going to really probably get done a little early this evening. Something I've been thinking about, ruminating on, and I hope that it'll be a help to you, something to consider this week as you walk with the Lord. Matthew 15, verse 10, if you'll read along, I'll read it aloud if you'll follow along with me. It says, "And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. What an opportunity and what a privilege to gather around it for the sake of worship tonight, to grow, to learn, to be ministered to through the work and the ministry of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the day that we've had today and for the opportunity we've had to honor, Lord, the men that are in our church and men and women, Lord, at that nursing home, Lord, that probably were not even in a lot of ways forgotten and ignored. Thank you for an opportunity to minister to them as well. I pray that, Lord, that we would never be ungrateful. We would never forget the great and many sacrifices that men and women have faced and the years given, Lord, defending our freedoms and our liberty. Lord, I thank you that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ an example of someone who gave his life, who said, you know what, I've come here for the purpose, the sole purpose, to do the Father's will, and he completed it. I ask that you would just be with those that heard the gospel this morning and need to respond to it. I pray their hearts would be tender to the work of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. So just one thought here tonight, and I'd like to bring to you, is God is not concerned primarily with the outward things. If you go here to Matthew chapter 15, Jesus has just got done teaching and really rebuking the Pharisees. In fact, his disciples felt that his rebuke was so sharp that they were offended. They picked up on that they did not like the message that Jesus was giving. In chapter 15, verse number 1, the Pharisees began, they sort of rebuked or questioned Jesus and said, you know, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? Because they eat without washing their hands. And Jesus turns the question around to them and says, why do you transgress the commandment of God with your traditions or by your traditions? He says, you know, you are more concerned with the outward appearance, with the expectations that others have of you, with following after tradition, with following after legalism, than you are with really pleasing God. He says to them in verse number 7, he calls them hypocrites. And he says, you know, Isaiah, the prophet, spoke of you. He said in verse number 8, he said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. As a Christian, it's very easy to get to a place where we are simply concerned with what we are doing in the outward, in an outward fashion. We get very concerned, overly concerned, with keeping up, if you want to call it this, appearances. But really, what ought to be of greatest concern to us is not the keeping of appearances, but rather the keeping of one's heart. In fact, he says that. He says, and if if verses 8 and 9 to me ought to be a verse that we reflect on, that we consider and say, God, am I simply one who draws nigh to you with my mouth and my lips, but my heart is not right with you? My heart is far from you. Am I one that seeks you with all of my heart, who loves you with all of my heart, who a majority of time spent with you is in secret, and a lot of time is spent thinking about, you know what, is my attitude, are my thoughts, are my motivations pleasing to you? And then he gives them a parable. And he says to them this, he says, listen, the things that go into your mouth is not what defiles you. It's not what displeases God. But rather, what comes out. Find it interesting, Jesus, you know, the disciples say, you know, you've really offended the Pharisees. They were sensitive, maybe, to the political pressures and religious pressures of the day. Of course, Jesus wasn't. That's what I love about our Lord. You know, he just spoke the truth. There wasn't a whole lot of consideration given. Certainly to the humble, he was kind and gracious. But to those proud and those lawless, boy, he just straight up told them what it was. He didn't worry about, you know, hurting their feelings. And he says this, he says, listen, they are who they are. They're the blind leading the blind, right? And the ones that have not been planted by my Father, he says, will be rooted up. And he says, listen, their day is coming. And what they're concerned about now is not really what they ought to be concerned about. They ought to be concerned about having and seeing God, right, and understanding who he is and what his expectations for them is. But in verse 15, Peter says, well, tell us what it means, Lord. And the Lord sort of, in a way, rebukes them, right? He says, are you without understanding? Do you not understand what I'm saying? I wonder if in his mind, certainly he knew all things. He knew the hearts and minds of man, but isn't trying to get them to reflect on, you know, are you so shallow in your understanding of what I'm trying to say? And then he says this. He says, listen, pretty basic. The things that you eat, there's a natural progression of things, all right? He says, that which you eat goes in the belly and goes out the draught. And that's a really nice way for saying some other things. He says, pretty obvious, the things that we eat, it's not what defiles us, right? It's what sustains us to live. But it's not what brings displeasure necessarily with God. What displeases God, what affects our relationship, or rather fellowship with God, is the things that are from the heart. In verse number 18, he says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. And then he goes on to explain. He says, for out of the heart proceeds all kinds of things, right? Murders, adulteries, fornications, you know, false witnesses. All these different things come from the heart. Now, as a Christian, like I said, there's a tendency to grow very focused on keeping up of appearances, on meeting expectations that others may have of us, versus looking to say, you know what, the appearances that I'm keeping up are not fooling God. God sees the condition of my heart. God sees where I am with Him. God knows at what place in fellowship I am with Him. He knows whether or not I am right with Him. The things that I say, the things that I do, it's not fooling God. It may very well be meeting the expectations of a church member or a friend or the pastor or maybe a spouse or children, but God is not at all as concerned about what I do outwardly, but what is within. Kids, it's easy as a Christian young person to get really focused on just doing good so you don't get in trouble. Are you listening to me, Cole and Will? Are you listening to me, Dave? Right? Well, I tell you, we go and, you know, we make sure we're saying yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and we're, trying to be obedient because we don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to have mom and dad upset at us. But really, what God is looking for, and as if we're godly parents, what we ought to be looking for in the expectation, is that their heart is there as well. It's not enough just to create sort of what the Pharisees had become. He calls them hypocrites. And is that not hypocritical? To do outwardly the things that you ought to do, but in your heart not want to? In your heart have different feelings and different thoughts about the things of God? I know this. It's much easier just to put on a show. It's much harder to allow, by the grace of God, victory over the wickedness of one's heart. The wicked motivations, the wicked thoughts, all the things that proceed out of our wicked hearts. To allow God to transform that, to allow God to change that, to be concerned primarily, not with necessarily what I'm doing outwardly, but Lord, am I right with you? You see my heart. You know my heart. May it be as the psalmist cried out to the Lord in prayer, Lord, what? Know my heart. Try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Can I ask you this question? What's the last time that you've asked the Lord to do something like that? God, know me. Try my heart. I don't want to just put on a show. I don't want to be a hypocrite. If there's one, certainly it's no excuse for the lost, but if there's one accusation that should ring true in our ears from a lost person, is this accusation that all the people that go to church are hypocrites. The truth of it is, we're all hypocrites to some degree at some point, right? We should strive not to be, but we all are. Would it be said of us, as was said of, or as Isaiah prophesied, that our heart is far from the Lord? That we're worshiping Him in vain? Because our heart is not with Him. Our heart doesn't yearn and seek after His law, hunger after the things of God. What ultimately pleases God is a heart that is passionate for Him. A heart, as He says, adheres to the first and greatest commandment, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength. Notice He doesn't say that you're doing your ministries, that you're putting on the show of being a Christian. No, He says, I am really, you want to keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The greatest thing you can do is to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The truth of it is, I have to wonder how oftentimes our hearts are far from the Lord. It's easy to get that way. I find myself there on occasion. I find myself where, you know, I'm going to church and I'm going through the motions of Christianity, maybe at my work, at home, right? I'm going through the motions of doing a family devotion or going through the motions of devotions, right? Didn't mean that to rhyme, but, you know, going through just, right, kids? Are you hearing me? You know, and honestly, a lot of times devotions are done only because there's an expectation that we're reading our Bible, that we're praying. Mom and dad is going to ask us that question, right? Our spouse is going to ask us, you know, have you been praying? When really, that ought to be a natural outpouring and a natural result of a heart that loves God, of a heart that is fully sold out to God. That is what pleases God. That is what God is looking for. He's not looking for you to just put on and just be busy. He's saying, listen, how often do you spend time just getting close to me? How often do you spend time just worshiping me, of meditating upon my word? How often do you allow me entrance to your heart to allow the work of the Holy Spirit to take place, convicting you and challenging you and bringing things to your mind that aren't in a line and in accordance with the word of God? It's foolish to trust one's heart knowing what is sourced there. Murders and adulteries and fornications and lies and thefts. That's why it's imperative that we are constantly washing our heart and our minds with the pure water of God's Word. That we are meditating upon it. That we're filling our minds and hearts with the truths of God's Word. Because why? It casts out the lies that our heart gins up. That's why we're instructed, right, in 2 Corinthians to bring into captivity every thought to the what? Obedience of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let me just read this to you. You know it. We talked about spiritual warfare, right? We talked about discernment last week, right? What is this spiritual warfare? It's not as we described today and honored men today that have literally gone and fought physical battles. We are in a war of the mind. We're in a war for the heart. We're in a war that involves spirits that cannot be seen with one's eyes. We are in a battle for one's heart. And he says this, he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And I like verse 6, "having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." You know, we need to take revenge on disobedience. How do we do that? By obeying. In fact, Paul goes on, he says in verse 7, he says, "Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ." He says it's not about the outward view. It's not about what you see with one's eyes. It's the battle for one's heart. If we go back to our text in Matthew 15, we would do well to be reminded that God's expectation so often differs from our expectation and this world's expectation that is primarily focused on that which we see with our eyes. God's expectation is, how is your heart? Where is your heart? So vitally important, parents, that we teach our children, that we demonstrate to our children, that we show by example to our children what it is to have a real relationship with God. Not just one that is made up of external activities, right? Our relationship with God oftentimes is solely defined by what we do. And people can't see one's heart. Your children can't see your heart. But you know what? If your heart is right with God, the things that you do outwardly will reflect that. We need to show and how vitally important it is to demonstrate to our children how it is, what it means to have a real relationship with God, to have a heart that yearns for God, that desires God, that you know what, the things of God are most important and are primary in your life. Sir, there are other things that we do, other entertainments that we may have, but you know what, when it comes to what is most important, it is God. It is the things of God. It is serving God in our home, within our church, in our schools, in our neighborhoods. It is serving God. It is putting God first. It is that which comes from the heart, as Jesus says, that defiles a man. We do well to be reminded of Scripture, which says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." How are you doing keeping your heart? Is your heart right with God? The simple question is this. You're here today Many of you have served the Lord today in various forms or fashions today and throughout this week. Maybe you read your Bible this morning or the day or prayed or had family altar. Was that born out of just a heart's desire to honor God, to please God? Or was it done simply to meet an expectation that someone else may have had? God help us. It is a good question. It's one that I'm challenged by. That's why I'm bringing it here, amen. I thought, man, Lord, help me. You know, because it's easy to get there. It's easy to come to that place of hypocrisy. So listen, really the question, more simply put, is this: are you a hypocrite? If no one had that expectation, if no one was watching, would you have done it? Would you continue to do it? Kids, listen. If mom and dad weren't going to ask you, did you have your Bible time? Did you pray? Would you still do it? Are you hearing me, Cadence? Boy, it's important. Dads, moms, if your kids weren't expecting you to have family altar, or dads, if you didn't expect your wife to come and prompt you to do so, would you still have family altar because it is right and because it honors God? Hey, I stand here just as guilty as the next guy. I'm too tired. That's hypocrisy. You say you love God. You say you want your family to live for God and serve God. The only reason you're doing these things is because you're guilted and shamed into it. That's not a heart that's seeking God. It's a heart of hypocrisy. It's tough. Hey, I say, Pastor, I don't like that. You say, well, what should we do? What must I do? We need to repent. Say, you know what? God, forgive me for having a heart that is far from you. Forgive me for being hypocritical and by just giving you lip service. By just doing things because I'm trying to meet the expectation of a family member or a spouse or someone in the church or whatever, right? God, help me. God, I want to do this because I love you and because it is the right thing to do and because it's commanded by you. I want to have my personal devotion time because we're told, right? To pray without ceasing. We're told, and we are shown by example, to rise up early and to study, to show yourself approved, right? We're told and we're shown by example to rise up early and to pray. I want to do it because God, it honors you. I want my heart to be following hard after you, to be loving you with the entirety of my heart and soul and mind and strength. I'll end with this. You're not fooling God. You're not fooling God. You may fool me. You may fool the church. You may fool your spouse. You may fool your kids. You may fool yourself. But you're not fooling God. Let's pray. Father, I ask tonight that you would forgive me and others in here that, Lord, may feel the same way, Lord, for being hypocritical, of approaching certain activities and going about doing certain things only because of pride or there's an expectation or, Father, whatever it might be, when really our reason ought to be is because it honors you and because it is your will. And because we earnestly desire to please you. And Father, I pray that there would be found amongst us an attitude and heart of repentance. And Father, if our heart has been far from you, if our heart has been seeking and desiring after other things aside from you, I pray you'd forgive us. Get so caught up in appearances, forgetting, lying to ourselves, failing to recognize that, Lord, you're not concerned with appearances. your all-seeing eyes drilled down into the center of our hearts. You see our motives, you see our attitude. Even if we do our best to mask it from the eyes of man, you see the attitudes, you see the motives, you see the spirits that aren't of you. I pray that as a church, that as believers that are in this church, that we would follow after your command where you instruct us to love you with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. That, Father, you would come first and foremost and you would be primary in our lives. I pray you'd help us as we teach this to our children, that we'd raise up not just children who have the ability to go around and fool everybody about their Christianity and about their relationship with you. We would raise up children who love you, who desire you. And that, Father, we would be not hypocrites, but earnest followers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your word. Lord, I pray that we'd not be as the Pharisees who were offended at what Jesus had to say, but may we be loving disciples, knowing that your word and even the difficult things we hear from your word are for our good. Thank you again for this day. What a blessing it has been to serve you as a church together, to bless others today, to both here and in a nursing home. And I pray that, Lord, you would find us continuing to be faithful until you return. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anything before we go today? Do we need to have is there any music today, Brother Tim? There is, okay. So thank you. I want to say thank you for everyone that worked hard in preparation for today. It was a lot of work, and I recognize that. So thank you, too, especially to our ladies for all your help, even to Helen. There, she got a smile. Anyway, is she sleeping? Oh, okay. There, she can hide, you know. She's throwing daggers at me right now. That's what she's doing. Anyway, no, to my beautiful wife. To my beautiful wife, despite her challenges with getting her eyes, having her eyes worked on, the work that she's done. So, all right, anything before we go today? There's more food. You kids hungry? Yeah, I know they are. They're always hungry. You know what's going to happen? We're going to get home and they're going to say, "I'm hungry." Yeah. That's right. That's right.